Welcome to this special edition, primary election Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KGRA. Thank you to the candidates for participating in the program. During this time, you'll get to hear from candidates running for the Republican nomination for Iowa House District 47. We'll join Greene County News Director Coltrane Carlson with the candidates after this.
Welcome to the special edition primary election Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KGRA. My name is Coltrane Carlson. I'm the news director for Greene County. In this program, we ask each candidate the same questions, and the candidates are allowed a maximum of 2 minutes to respond to each question. At this time, we will be speaking with the Republican candidates running for the Iowa House District 47 seat. Before we do that, just a reminder that we are focusing our attention on the contested races in Greene County for the upcoming June primary election on June 5th. With that being said, the other candidates who are also running for Iowa House District 47 but are running unopposed in the primary include Democrat candidate David Weaver of Rippey and Libertarian candidate Patrick Shaw of Boone. Here is our first interview with one of the three Republican candidates. And we're speaking first with the Republican candidate for the Iowa House District 47 seat in the upcoming contested June primary election with Victoria Sinclair of Boone joining us now. So thank you very much, Victoria, for being on.
Thank you for having me, Coltrane.
You bet. Well, first of all, Victoria, just kind of tell us a little bit about your personal background, things like where you grew up, education, any nonprofits that you worked for in the past.
Yeah, so I grew up in eastern Iowa. My dad's a factory worker. My mom cuts hair. Both of them work 60 hours a week to try to make ends meet, and they both came from, you know, larger families who had some financial troubles too, and so they worked pretty hard to provide me the opportunities that I've had, which allowed me to be the first in my family to go to college, and actually attended the University of Northern Iowa on a full scholarship and graduated distinguished with honors at the top of my class. And so really, really blessed to have the opportunities that I've had, but I do think that the life that I get to live now is sort of the epitome of the American dream, where every generation hopes that they'll get to be, you know, a little bit better off than their parents necessarily. So, I've been very, very lucky. And so, yep, Eastern Iowa. I don't know if I told you.
Yeah.
And after college, Congressman King hired me straight out. So, moved over here and been working for him ever since. Just helping people navigate the federal bureaucracy and helping sort out the problems that they have within the federal government. So, very, very blessed, certainly, to be able to have the opportunities that I've had.
All right, now let's talk about any public offices that you've held before, and if so, what were those?
I wouldn't say I've been elected to public office. I have, okay, have served on different task forces and advisory boards and whatnot. So with the city of Cedar Falls, when I was a student at UNI, I was their designated student who did all the government relations on behalf of the student body. So I also, in that capacity, got to serve with the city council in a role with rental housing stuff. And that was when there was a big rental housing issue, I guess. And so I was the student representative on the rental housing task force, and I also served on the Board of Rental Housing Appeals as well. And with the congressman, I actually serve on Iowa's Water Future Task Force, which is organized by the Greater Des Moines Partnership. But my role with that is more to try to, you know, watch and see what's going on with that and make sure that the agriculture voice is being adequately heard. I had some real concerns in the beginning. You hear Greater Des Moines Partnership and Water Future, and you worry a little bit about what that's going to mean.
Sure.
I will say that they did do a pretty good job hearing agriculture's voice. But that was a really good opportunity as well. I should also add that I'm very involved with the American Legion Auxiliary Girls State Program, and I've served on their staff for the last 7 years, and looking forward to my eighth summer. Helping give young women across the state opportunity to get to understand state and local government and run for mock offices and whatnot. And that's actually what sparked my interest in politics in the beginning anyway. So I like to give back, and I feel like I've been given a lot. And so I want to make sure those opportunities are there for our future generations as well.
Well, now let's talk a little bit more about state legislature scope. Do you have three major topics that you would like to see addressed in the state legislature if you're elected?
Yeah, so I think most importantly, I'm pretty passionate about making sure that we're having a skilled workforce that we need. So that means making sure that, folks who aren't necessarily young people but are looking to, get a better situation for their family, they have opportunities to go back and get the technical training that they're hoping to get. And also making sure that our young people are receiving and are being encouraged to go into some of the wonderful technical programs that we have. And I think Greene County's actually made some pretty good strides with this new Career Academy that they're looking at, and the partnership with Iowa Central Community College. I think that's really the right answer and the right direction to be heading. We truly do have a skilled workforce shortage, and I'm very, very concerned about what that means for Iowa's future. Folks like my dad runs a CNC machine on the floor at John Deere, and he's 60. He won't be there that much longer.
Right. Sure.
And so when he leaves, who's going to be there to fill that job? It's a good job. It really is. And there's plenty of examples just like that all across the state where, we have an older workforce, and we already have a shortage specifically with welding. I hear a lot. Mm-hmm. But, we need to make sure that we're encouraging our young people to go into those careers. So I would say that's probably one of the most important, if not the most important to me. But we also need to look at what we're doing to support agriculture in the state. Agriculture truly is the key to Iowa's economy. And we need to be doing what we can to support it, but we need to be supporting it in a sustainable fashion and encouraging farmers to, incorporate sustainable practices. But we need to be doing that by finding a designated and long-term funding source for things like cover crops and trying out new practices to try to help alleviate any possible issues, because I do believe and all the farmers I meet too, they care about their land and they want to do what's right for their land, and it's the finances that make things hard, and so if we can find a way to help strengthen Iowa agriculture, that's incredibly important. And lastly,
I hate to cut you off, but you reached your 2-minute maximum on that question, so we'll go ahead and move off to the next one. There's two other candidates that are also vying for the Republican seat that's going up against you in the June primary. What makes you the better candidate compared to your colleagues going up against you?
My husband and I, we're a young family. We're looking forward to our first child arriving this summer, and so I think that we have a different perspective to offer in terms of what it means to be a young couple in the state right now. And we do have a vested interest in this state. We're both lifelong Iowans and want the best future that we can, not only for us and for our family, but for our son too. And that means doing what we can to better Iowa right now and build the future that we hope to have now, because if we don't do it now, then that won't be there for my children or my grandchildren. And I want to make sure that it's there for everyone's children and grandchildren. I think that Iowa is the place where you can live the American dream still, as are most places in this country. But Iowa, the value of hard work does truly pay off, and I want to make sure that those same opportunities that I was given are given in future generations as well.
Something that's kind of a more Greene County specific type question. I'm sure maybe Boone County's encountered this too. And a lot of counties in Iowa have certified animal feeding operations, or CAFOs as we call them, and primarily hog confinements. In Greene County alone, there's over 100 CAFOs. Do you think that the master matrix is as good as it already is in place, or do you think counties should be allowed to call their own moratoriums on CAFOs?
I support Iowa agriculture. And I feel that Iowa agriculture is truly integral to Iowa's economy. It makes up a huge portion of our state revenue, which, then we turn around and we're able to fund our schools or our health care with. So we need to be doing what we can to support agriculture. In terms of the master matrix, I think the master matrix has by and large been effective. The counties that have chosen to adopt the master matrix generally have more strict guidelines for CAFOs than others. And the pieces of the master matrix that were put in place for a reason, and were designed with the idea in mind that you're considering all these factors and only approving the best possible options. And so if folks have you know, specific concerns about the Master Matrix, I'm more than happy to listen. But I do believe that the Master Matrix has been an effective tool, and I would be opposed to moratoriums.
Okay. And finally, probably the most obvious question would be, why are you running for Iowa House?
I'm running for Iowa House because I care about Iowa's future. I want to make sure that we have the best future going forward. And I believe that we live in the best place possible that you could live and raise a family. And I want to make sure that that remains true into the future. Like I said, I've been given a lot of opportunities by being in Iowa, and this is a place where hard work really can pay off. And I want to make sure that the opportunities that I've been given are there for our future as well. It really does matter. And I think I have the skills that it takes and the desire to fight for the best possible future that we can for the state of Iowa and Green and Boone County specifically.
And that's one of our three Republican candidates going up for the Iowa House District 47 seat in the upcoming June 5th primary election. It's Victoria Sinclair joining us now. So thank you very much again, Victoria, for being on.
Thank you, Coltrane, for having me.
And we'll have more of our special primary election in-depth news magazine program right after this here on KGRA. Welcome back to our special edition primary election Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KGRA. This is Coltrane Carlson again. We continue with our interviews of the Republican candidates for House District 47 for the contested race in the June primary election. We are now speaking with Phil Thompson of Jefferson, who is one of three Republican candidates, again running for the Iowa House District 47 seat for the June 5th primary election. So again, Phil, thanks for being on our show today.
Thank you, Coltrane. Appreciate it.
You bet. Well, first and foremost, Phil, I'm sure people here in Greene County, at least maybe have heard of your name, know a little bit about you, but I don't know if all the voters know who you are. So could you, first of all, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your personal background, where you grew up, your education, maybe any nonprofits you worked with in the past, that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Jefferson, went to Jefferson Scranton High School here, wrestled with T-ball and Mark Sawhill and Chris Connor and those guys. I joined the Army my senior year of high school, became an Airborne Ranger, deployed to Iraq, and at the tail end of my active duty time, got into West Point, where I studied systems engineering for 2 years. Then I came home, joined the Iowa Guard, got involved in public policy, working for some advocacy groups and candidates. And right now my day job is construction. I remodel homes with a couple of my brothers here in central Iowa in the VFW, American Legion. Just took the reins from Jim Andrew as post commander here locally, and worked for a couple of local scholarship boards that we just had the opportunity of giving to a couple outstanding seniors too. So,
well, with that being said, of course, if you're elected to the Iowa House, that's a public office, of course. So could you tell us if you've had any prior experience in being in any other public offices?
No, actually, I haven't. I've helped other candidates that I believed in, local candidates and state candidates. And for the last 2 years, worked as a legislative aide in the Iowa House. I've gotten to know a lot of the elected officials, but I haven't actually run for public office before.
Well, that being said, now let's go on to some more state legislature type of scope question here. And is there any three major topics that you would like to see addressed in the Iowa legislature if you're elected?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, rural equity. I think we need a representative to go to bat for rural Iowa up there. We're sending a lot of dollars up to Des Moines, and I don't see enough of it coming back. Rural areas like ours, we have a smaller tax base. We have less commerce to supplement our needs with, which is also a priority, making sure local businesses are free to grow and have a healthy climate that people are comfortable investing in. You know, other issues that are really important to me, the right to life. I believe in personhood from conception to natural death. I'm really proud of our governor and our legislature for taking such a strong stand for our unborn, and I support that most recent legislation wholeheartedly. And finally, Second Amendment rights. You know, we don't have SWAT teams in rural Iowa. We have excellent, highly trained peace officers that exercise good judgment, but they can't be everywhere. And rural Iowans need to be able to lawfully protect themselves, and I won't compromise on that ever.
There's obviously two other Republican candidates vying for the candidacy on the Republican side for the District 47 seat. What makes you the better candidate to receive the Republican nomination in the June primary?
Well, I'm from here. Other than my time in the service, I've always lived here. This is my home. I'm a product of this community. And ultimately, I owe all of my successes to the people in this community that helped raise me. I mentioned a few of them before. I know the challenges we face too. I was educated here. I grew up here, got my first job here, and was raised by the people here. So I think I have a really good understanding of the needs and wants and challenges of this community because I'm a product of this community.
All right. Also, we'd like to know, obviously, in a lot of counties across Iowa, and I'm sure you maybe are aware of this here in Greene County especially, there are several certified animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, and primarily so the hog confinement industry. In Greene County alone, there's over 100 CAFOs. Do you think that the master matrix is a good way, the way it is now? And do you think that counties should be allowed to have their own moratoriums on CAFOs?
Well, the matrix, which is governed by the Environmental Protection Commission, is necessary. Like you said, there are over 100 CAFOs in Greene County. They're a large driving force in our local and state economy. They add value. Obviously, they don't just have value in the livestock. They add value to other commodities that we're really good at producing, too. And just like any other business, they need the freedom to grow in order to succeed. You know, if counties start passing moratorium on CAFOs, we're going to see that impact, not just our economy, but family farms, too, and the people we know that their whole livelihood is based on this, too. So I think individual counties taking that up on their own could have very negative impacts on our families.
Okay. And finally, and probably the most obvious question of all, is why are you running for the Iowa House?
Well, my interest in policy really started in 2011. I signed out on leave from the Army and started my drive home from Fort Bragg. I stopped at a hotel for the night and left my phone in my car and came back and had over 100 missed calls from family. So I knew something bad had happened. And overnight, my mother had passed away. And she had catastrophic heart valve failure. And it took 45 minutes for an ambulance to arrive. And it's interesting that now we're seeing another opportunity for a county to address EMS services. But that episode was ultimately what woke me up to the inequities of living in rural Iowa. So ultimately what I'm running for is to take a really strong voice for rural communities like ours and make sure that we're seeing good returns, because we are sending plenty of dollars up to Des Moines. And I want to make sure that we're getting good returns on our investments and making sure that money makes it outside of the 235 loop.
And that, again, is one of the three Republican candidates for the upcoming June 5th primary election for the Iowa House District 47 seat, is Phil Thompson of Jefferson joining us once again. So thank you very much, Phil, for being on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we'll have more of our special primary election in-depth news magazine program right after this here on KGRA. And welcome back to our special edition primary election Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KGRA. This is Coltrane Carlson. As we finish up our interviews with the Republican candidates for House District 47 for the contested race and the June primary election, we go to our final candidate. And we're speaking with our final candidate for the Republican candidacy for the Iowa House District 47 seat and the June 5th primary election. We are now joined by Don Batt of Boone. So thank you very much, Don, for being on.
Thank you for the invitation. I love coming out to Jefferson.
Not a problem, Don. And so let's, first of all, get a little bit better knowledge about yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal background, you know, where you grew up, education, maybe some nonprofits you worked for in the past?
Well, sure. First of all, I'd like to say that I've been married to my wife for 27 years, and I have four stepchildren. I'm an Army veteran, and my older brother George was a Marine and served in the Korean War. I'm a member of the American Legion and an American Legion rider. I'm a member of the VFW, the Moose, and a life member of Abate of Iowa. Even though Abate does not and cannot endorse any candidates, I will protect your rights and concerns as a motorcyclist if elected. My name, now you mentioned nonprofit, my name might sound familiar to you. I'm one of the Boone County Freedom Flight organizers, and we as a committee are honored to have taken 300 veterans from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam to D.C. to see their memorials. And these veterans have created a legacy. These memorials are built for them, not for the tourists. But I grew up in Chicago. I went to high school in Winnetka, Illinois, at New Trier High School. And I went on after that to a trade school with Harley-Davidson. And after that, I became a service manager at a couple dealers when I opened up my own shop. So that's, and I have retired from that business since. So I'm getting ready to retire from my other full-time job here at the end of June.
All right. Now let's talk a little bit about any previous public office experience, because after all, you're running for a publicly elected office. So have you had any other public office experience before?
I have, but not in the political arena, so to speak. This is new to me. But I am a former Boone City Council member, where I served as a member of the Public Safety and Transportation Committee. I was on the Policy Administration and Employee Relations Committee, and I chaired the Economic Development Committee. But I stepped down from that position, from the council, during my four-year term to accept a job with the city in the Public Works Department, where I've been employed for the last 12 years, and I will retire at the end of June.
Now let's talk a little bit a larger scope at the state legislature. As with anybody, I'm sure there's different topics that people would like to tackle. Being a candidate running for the Republican ticket, is there three major topics that you would like to see addressed in the legislature if elected?
Well, you know, Governor Reynolds has a passion for STEM, even when she was lieutenant governor. And we know that's science, technology, engineering, and math. And prior to the end of this session, she signed the Future Ready Iowa bill. Now, this is basically an extension of STEM, which it'll prioritize education, skills, which will better our workforce. And I would like to work with the state elected officials to promote more of out-of-state businesses to come to Iowa and help small local businesses. I will listen to the citizens of Iowa, as I did when I served on the city council. Number two would be when it comes to health care. I think we need to make it more affordable, especially in Iowa, where farmers and small business owners are paying extremely high insurance costs. Healthcare is one of the few services people pay for without knowing the cost up front. And MCOs need more oversight to accomplish this. The lack of transparency is a leading cause of the high cost. And Iowa is fifth highest individual and corporate tax rates in the country. We would not need so many tax credits if legislators would reduce the tax rates, which recently happened, by the way. Some think that we need to spend less. Iowa should have priority-based budgeting to decide funding for core government services while limiting waste. Now, you look at North Carolina, they lowered their tax rates and addressed spending at the same time, resulting in major economic growth. The solution, you ask, is prioritize spending, lessening the tax load. By doing this, Iowa would increase incomes and business profits, which will lead to increased government funds.
Very good. There's two other candidates vying for the Republican ticket for the June upcoming primary for the Iowa House seat that you're looking for. And so could you tell us, you know, what makes you the better candidate to receive the Republican nomination in the June primary?
Well, like I said a minute ago, I will listen to you. I have confidence in the Iowa voters. I'm passionate about helping make Iowa a place of opportunity for young families and lifelong Iowans. I know we can keep, or I should say, I know we can do more to bring people and to keep our people in our great state. Recently, Iowa was ranked number one in the nation, and I think our next legislature is going to work harder to keep that number one status. We are a target for the other states, and I think because of that, I know I'm up for the challenge.
All right. Now, something that's kind of more Greene County-esque, because obviously District 47 covers Greene and Boone counties, and you know this is kind of an issue we see crop up every single time, even across the state, and that is having several certified animal feeding operations, or CAFOs, and primarily hog confinements. In Greene County alone, there's over 100 CAFOs. Do you think that the Master Matrix is a good system that's already in place, or do you think that maybe counties should be allowed to call their own moratoriums on CAFOs?
That's a great question. Actually, it'd take a couple answers. I think, first of all, ag operations should be standardized at state level. We don't need to patchwork county by county. Number two, I'm open to taking a look at the Master Matrix at state level to see if changes need to be made. It hasn't been touched since 2002, and people have expressed interest in looking at it. We need to bring everyone to the table if we're going to make any changes, though. And number three, a moratorium. You mentioned on the CAFOs. I think it's a bad idea. The ag economy is already fragile due to uncertainty with tariffs, the RFS, NAFTA, et cetera, and a moratorium would only make that worse.
All right. And finally, probably the most obvious question for people they'd like to know out there is, why are you running for the Iowa House?
Another great question. I started a long time ago. I used to do a lot of things for the community, Boone, and I organized toy drives for needy kids. I did little things like I won the Yard of the Month Club, and it's kind of funny, but people noticed that, and they started coming to my house just to visit, whatnot, you know, whatever. But I made a name for myself. The community responded by asking me to run for city council. And at that time, I didn't like politics. I didn't even know who the mayor was. But I accepted the challenge. I won my first election, then the second, then the third. And I got to meet legislators while I was on the council. I fell in love with the Capitol. You know, my job kept me from running for office in the legislature. But now that I'm retiring, now I have that chance to fulfill my dream. And I'm going to do it.
All right, well, that's one of three candidates running for the Republican ticket in the upcoming June primary for the Iowa House District 47 seat of Greene and Boone Counties. Don Batt joining us now, so thank you very much, Don, for being on.
Thank you very much.
And we'll have more of our special primary election in-depth news magazine program right after this here on KGRA.
Thank you for listening to our special edition primary election Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KGRA. For an archive of this program, go to RaccoonValleyRadio.com. This has been a presentation of the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.